What is the most loving rebuke your mom ever gave you? What is the most loving rebuke your mom ever delivered your way? Now, I'm not asking what's the most loving thing she ever said to you. That was probably some variation of, I love you. Or maybe a promise that she gave you. Or maybe she pointed out something wonderful about you, some gift of God's grace in your life with well-chosen words. I hope everybody here has gracious words from their mother that they can cherish all your days. I'm sure there are some who may not. The Lord knows, and He's sufficient no matter what. He has loving things to say over you, even if your mom never has. But what I'm asking right now is, what is the most loving rebuke your mom ever gave you? You know what I'm talking about, right? The time she told you off. The time she scolded you. The time she bawled you out. The time she read you the riot act. Some of you are sitting next to your mom this morning and you're all looking at each other, right? And you know you needed to hear it. Nobody likes being scolded. But sometimes a scolding is exactly what we need to get our attention and to keep us from going off the rails. All good mothers know that. And so do all good pastors. And this pastor who was writing this sermonic letter to the Hebrews chooses this moment in his missive to lovingly rebuke his readers. Did you hear that as Trey read it to us? Did you hear the rebuke? It starts in the very first verse, verse 11. Look at it with me. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Ouch. He says he has a lot more to say about what we were studying last week. Jesus as our, three words, great high priest, right? Jesus is the greatest high priest there ever was. He's like every other high priest, human, subject to weakness, called by God. But he's better than every other high priest. He's gone into the heavens. He's a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Wow. What does that mean? Well, this pastor wants to explain what that means. But he's afraid the Hebrews are not paying attention. Moms, have you ever had to say to your kids, are you paying attention? He says, it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. And that's saying it nicely. The King James and the ESV have, you have become dull of hearing. The CSB translates it, you have become too lazy to understand. The updated NIV has, it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. That's a rebuke. That's a scolding. He wants them to feel some shame because this is not about their intellectual abilities. It's about their hearts. They're not listening with their hearts. They're zoning out. And this pastor is saying, I'm worried about you guys. Something's gone terribly wrong here. Look at verse 12. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. That's a rebuke. He's saying they've not grown as they were supposed to, and it's their fault. It's as if their mothers took their 12-year-old to the family doctor and she held up the growth chart and said, you're in the 1 percentile for growth. It's because you refuse to eat. It's actually, you're in the minus 25 percentile for growth. It's because you won't eat like you should. Now, what's wrong with the milk? Nothing wrong with the milk. Is there anything wrong with a baby who only drinks milk? No. That's how it should be at the beginning, right? Is there anything wrong with a newborn baby who only nurses? No, it would be bad if a newborn baby was eating a piece of pizza or a porterhouse steak. Paisley back there, does she like pizza? No, she doesn't. But what if you're a 25-year-old who's still nursing? What would a 10-year-old look like who never eats a piece of pizza? Nothing but milk. What would that 10-year-old look like? What would the 25-year-old look like? What we call it, a failure to thrive. Stunted growth. These readers had had the gospel for a long time, or some time at least, and they should have been further along. He says they should have been teachers by now. It's not that they should ever stop learning. It's that they have stopped learning. They should have learned enough by now that they have something to give to others. Come on, guys. That's what he's saying to them. Come on. Yeah, milk is good. But have you tried chicken? Solid food is even better. Verse 13. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. This is not working. To be not acquainted in verse 13 means to be inexperienced, unskilled, undiscerning. Sounds like a little baby to me. And it doesn't sound like what a Christian ought to be for long. If you are a Christian, if you've been a Christian for any length of time, you're going to learn what God says about what is right and how to be right with God. But these folks were still acting like babies, like spiritual infants. And so this loving pastor rebukes them. I've only got two major points this morning from this text, and they are two sides of the same coin. Here's number one. Don't stay a baby. Don't stay a baby Christian. Now, if you are a baby Christian here this morning, praise God. Welcome to the family. It's okay to know hardly anything yet about Jesus. We will teach you about Jesus here at Lance Free Church, who he is, what he's done, what he's going to do, and what he wants from us. We will teach you the teaching about righteousness. But you have to listen. And you have to grow. We'll serve out the milk, but you can't stay on the milk. You got to graduate to solid food and not go backwards. I think that he's implying that they have been fed some solid food before, but they're kind of like, I'm not sure I really want to hear all this. I'm just going to coast by on the old stuff, the milk, the introductory stuff. That's good enough for me. I'm not planning to grow. Is that you? Have you said, I'm mature enough. I think I'll just coast from here. That's infantile. Don't stay a baby. I was trying to think about the most loving rebuke that my mom ever gave me. And I'm pretty sure I'm forgetting some of them, because who wants to dwell on the times when mom was disappointed in you? But what came to mind this week was this particular time when I wasn't pulling my weight around the house. I think I was a teen or maybe a preteen, and I wasn't doing my chores. I was supposed to run the vacuum. I was supposed to do the dusting. I had particular rooms I was supposed to do. And I basically thought I was above all of that serving stuff. Mom could do all that stuff. Know what I'm saying? She enjoys doing the housework, which is obvious by how much of it she does, which tells you just how immature I was. And I remember my mom rebuked me, and she basically just told me, grow up. Don't stay a baby. I was getting older, and that meant I could be more responsible around the house, not less. The Lord is saying that to you and me. Don't stay a baby Christian. Take an inventory of your spiritual life. Take a long look at yourself. Have you grown as a Christian recently? Is there any difference in your life now from before or over time? Have you grown in the fruit of the Spirit, for example, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? Are you more self-controlled now than you used to be? Are you more patient? Are you more gentle? Have you learned your Bible? Are you reading it? Are you understanding it more and more? Are you listening to the message on Sunday and applying it to your life? Or are you slow to learn? Do you have your fingers in your ears like a spiritual toddler? Doesn't matter how old you are. You could be very old and be acting like this because it's a matter of the heart. Don't stay a baby. Flip side, grow up in Christ. Look at verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Chapter 6. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. There's our title for today. On to maturity. Don't stay a baby Christian. Grow up in your relationship with the Lord and become mature. That word for maturity in verse 1 is the same word as we saw applied to Jesus last week in chapter 5, verse 9, about how he was made perfect. We said that is made complete or made whole. In Jesus' life, it was graduating from the school of suffering to being the perfected high priest. In our case, it's that we're becoming more and more like Jesus, more and more like we are made to be, more and more maturing in our faith and becoming like our Lord. Hebrews says we're to go on to maturity. What does that look like? I think this passage gives us a picture of maturity when we consider the flip side of what it says about immaturity. Here are five things I've noted down as I was looking at it. A mature Christian is eager to eat meat. They want that solid food. If an infantile Christian is choking on the solid food, a mature Christian is not only able to eat the solid stuff, but hungry for it. I went to a pastor's meeting this week, 2 hours out and 2 hours back with my friend Nick Boonstra, who's the pastor at Blue Course Community Church, our sister church in State College. And Nick was telling me about this young Christian in their church over there who is in the blue band and got in from playing at an away game at 3 a.m. one Saturday night last year. Actually, I guess that's Sunday morning. She was at church at 10 because she wanted to be fed. Are you hungry for the meat of God's word? If you miss a Sunday here, and we all do you read or listen or watch last week's message to get caught up and fed? I do. I actually listen to last week's message every week, even though I wrote it to get myself ready this week. Do you read your Bible? Do you study your Bible? Do you study it with other people? There's lots of ways to do that. Keith's class on Sunday nights, youth group, prayer meeting, getting together with some other Christians in a home. A text group where everybody's reading the same thing and then you send each other some thoughts. Lots of ways to study the Bible with other Christians. Second, a mature Christian is ready to teach. That doesn't mean that you're ready to get up here and preach or even back there and teach a formal class, but it does mean you're ready to explain the gospel to someone else who isn't as far along as you are. If your friend has questions, are you ready to give them some answers? Can you explain what you believe? Moms, you need to teach your kids Christian doctrine. It's part of the job description you signed up for when you got pregnant. And yes, that means you will constantly be learning. You will need to keep learning to keep teaching. Moms need solid food so that they can nurse. Mature Christian moms need solid food so that they can nourish their baby Christians at home. Third, a mature Christian puts it to work. They put what they know to work. That's in verse 14 of chapter 5. Look again at that. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. A mature Christian takes in spiritual nourishment and then does something with it. Like what Keith said a couple weeks ago in the sermon about how we don't just hear the word and nod along. Yep, yep, yep. We take what we hear and we do something with it. He says constant use or trained. The Greek word for trained in verse 14 is the root word, comes from the root word gymnazo, gymnazmo, from which we get our word gymnasium. It's a workout, right? You hear, if you listen to a sermon on Sunday mornings, what are you doing? Okay, you might be daydreaming. You might be thinking about anything else. You might be tempted to fall asleep. I have fallen asleep through my share of sermons. I've fallen asleep on my mom's shoulder listening to many a sermon, okay? I understand. Here's something else to do. Listen and go, what could I do with this? What should I do with this? What am I going to do with this? Right? As you're listening to a sermon, that's like pumping spiritual iron, right? So you grow until mature Christians fill up with the protein of God's word and then work out with it until they are changed, until they can tell the difference between good and evil. That is, they have discernment, able to discern. Mature Christians know what the right thing to do is. For example, our Lord Jesus told us to forgive those who sin against us. Everybody agree with that? Yep. How you doing at it? See, that's what it means to be slow to learn. If you don't take God's word in and then do the thing, of course your spiritual growth is going to atrophy. Our Lord says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. In other words, keep your promises. Are you doing that? Are you keeping your promises to your employer, to your mortgage company, to your spouse? If you start by saying, well, see, everybody loves Jesus until he starts to demand things. And then we start looking for loopholes. And then we start trying to ignore him. Maybe we still want to be counted among the Christians, but we don't really want to be acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. Grow up. Mature Christians grow in Christ by putting what they're learning of Christ to work, which makes them able to discern right from wrong, good from evil. And lastly, mature Christians build on the basics. Notice again what it says in verse 1 of chapter 6. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that he means that we should abandon the elementary teachings about Christ? Do you? I don't. I don't think he means that we should leave them in the dust. We should never abandon the elementary teachings about Jesus. We will always need them. They are our sure foundation. But we need to build on that foundation. We don't throw out our ABCs, right? Oh, I'm done with all those letters of the alphabet. No, we put them together into words and sentences and texts and paragraphs and papers and books. And we don't throw out the basics, but we build on them. If we never do, then we never mature. Look at what he goes on to say in verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. He says that we, and notice he includes himself here, we all need to do this. We are to go on to maturity. Or more literally, be taken forward to maturity. As if God is sweeping us along in the process. We don't do this in our own power. But we do cooperate. We do it We go on to maturity, not by relaying the foundation, but I think by building on it. Now, the list of six things there in verses 1 and 2 have been taken differently by different biblical scholars over the years. They're obviously all basic things, but it's not clear exactly what kind of basic things. I tend to think that they're basic Christian things because verse 1 says elementary teachings about Christ. So that's repentance from sinful acts and, flip side, faith in God. That's the doorway into a relationship with God, turn and trust. And we know that's turn and trust in Jesus, the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins and came back to life to give us life. It's the basics of conversion, conversion 101. And then baptism and the laying on of hands would be John's baptism before Christ and Christian baptism after Christ and the commissioning of Christian leaders for leadership and service. Those are the basics of church life. Church 101, Christian life 101. And then resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment are the basics of Christian teaching about end times. Christian future 101. There's a new world coming when Jesus returns. These are all things that all Christians should have been taught early on in their faith. Do you know all these things? I hope you do. If not, let's talk. I want you to have all of those pieces, right? They're the building block. Should we abandon any of those things? Of course not. Really, we should revisit them regularly. That's why we recite our statement of faith and sing the songs we do to remind ourselves of the basics of our beliefs. But we go deeper and we go higher. We build on those basics. We go on to maturity. We grow up in Christ. Interestingly, many other Christians have noted that these six things are not distinctively Christian. In fact, they all could be taken as basics of Jewish teaching from the Old Covenant. Look at it that way. So this could be yet another way that Hebrews is saying that these believers should not go backwards. Maturity in Christ would mean not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, good works will not save us, and of faith in God, like the Old Testament says. Our instruction about the new NIV has cleansing rites, could be Jewish washings like we read about in the Old Testament or what the Pharisees were famous for doing. And the laying on of hands could be when a temple goer lays their hand on a lamb before sacrificing it in the Old Covenant. The resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment are truths taught in the Old Testament as well. We saw it last year in the book of Daniel. So it may be that these Hebrews were tempted to lay again the foundation of the Old Covenant way of approaching God, the Aaronic high priest, and all of that. And the author is saying, no, no, that won't work. You can't go back. There is a new covenant with a greater high priest, and it's much better, and it is now the way to perfection, to completeness, to maturity. Don't get stuck back there. That's all good stuff. But don't get stuck back there. Don't keep getting started and going nowhere. Build on it. Let us go on to maturity. Does that make sense? You with me? If not, let's talk about that further afterwards. And though he's been giving them such a hard time, he ends this section with the word of encouragement. And God permitting, we will do so. We will go on to maturity if the Lord wills. And we know that he said that this is part of his revealed will, his will of command. And he's so good and so gracious and loving and powerful. If he empowers us to go on to maturity, then we certainly will. Because the opposite is just terrible to think about. Next Sunday, God permitting, we will think about that. The next few verses are some of the hardest to interpret and the heaviest to receive in the whole Bible. It's a warning. Not just a scolding, but a warning. But before he issues that warning, this pastor takes a deep breath and gives us a strong word of encouragement. Like a good mom, he has issued a loving rebuke. You're being dull. You're being lazy. You're not listening. You have your fingers in your ears. Do you hear me? He obviously thinks they may be listening. They are slow to learn, but he hasn't given up on them. He still thinks he can get their attention. He's doing that loving dope slap on the back of the head thing that some moms have perfected. And he says, don't stay a baby. Grow up in Christ. He says, let's all do it. Let's all do it together. And God permitting, we will do so. Amen?